I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, the Israelites weren't the only people who ever wandered through a desert searching high and low for life, for the meaning of life, for the continuation of life, for true life, something that would give them hope in the midst of their hunger and thirst. Certainly, they're not the only ones to have ever done that. And yet, their story of wandering in the desert remains a supremely important tale for us today. These people trusted in Moses as the God-ordained leader to take them from slavery and lead them to the promised land. But once in the wilderness, they encountered hunger and a thirst that they have never experienced before. A deep hunger and an unquenchable thirst that made them wish for death. They wondered aloud about the Lord's plan. They questioned the very leader whom they had once witnessed part the Red Sea with his staff. They witnessed miracles, but they couldn't see past the pain of their everyday existence. I think the people of the modern world find themselves in a kind of desert too. And yes, we actually live in a desert, but I'm not talking about that. I mean, the world at large is a kind of desert. Yes, we see signs of hope here and now. We hear stories of inspiration time and again. But it seems that by and large, the world is bereft of the water of life. We know of people who are living amidst the ruins brought about by poverty, by famine, by violence, by deep ideological conflict. The people of the world have witnessed miracles of a sort. But new threats arise, new experiences and tragedies occur, new divisions emerge within the human family that threaten to trample down the good that occurs and to position evil and suffering upon the pedestal of normalcy. Just as the Israelites cried out in the desert, "Give us water to drink," so too the world cries out, "Give us the water of life." You know, in spite of its flawed history, in spite of the ways in which it hasn't remained faithful to Jesus Christ, I still remain convinced that the church, the baptized people of God, empowered by the Holy Spirit to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, I still believe that the church is the best hope for people dying of thirst in the desert of the modern world. The church, whose chief cornerstone is Jesus Christ, is planted firmly within the desert of the world and contains within itself the very water of life, that living presence of Jesus Christ, the liberator, the redeemer, the savior of the world. We believe that right here, right now, we are meeting God in a profound and particular way. We've got it, we believe, that water of life. The church worldwide and every local expression of the church, of which we are one of, what, 37 in this town? Every church. It's not a social club or merely a social service agency. We are not primarily institutions or businesses. The church happens when the baptized people of God gather to worship, to be taught, to hear the life-giving words of the gospel, and are empowered then to go into the world making disciples, bringing people into the fold, introducing once lost and floundering people to the one and only Savior of the world, Jesus Christ. And so, like that rock that was struck by Moses, we exist right in the middle of the desert, in the midst of the people. And that water of life within us can indeed flow out and satisfy the thirsts of all those who feel overcome by the pain and the sinfulness of the world. But there's a catch. I mean, there's always a catch, right? We talk about free grace, and then we say, take up your cross and follow me. So, if you've read the gospel of it, you know there's always a catch, right? the rock that gushed forth with the living water, it was first struck and broken open. Though the Lord ordained that rock would produce water for the thirsty Israelites, it wasn't without labor. It wasn't without effort. It took Moses and his breaking it open in order to reveal that treasure hidden within. And so the implication for us, for the church, is that the treasure that we possess, that living water of Jesus Christ, it doesn't simply just flow out into the world easy peasy. Right? I wish it were the case, but it's not a kind of spiritual or divine osmosis that just happens because we're here. It requires that we are broken open, that we resist remaining as lifeless as a rock in the sand, that we allow the Lord to do with us as the Lord deems fit, even and especially when the will of the Lord seems as nonsensical as calling forth water from a sun-bleached rock in the desert. So that's true for the church everywhere, and it's particularly true for us at Trinity on the Hill. I love this church. I've said this before, and I mean it. I've moved my family 2,000 miles away from where I grew up to be here with you and at this church. I love this church, and we have so much to offer this community. But if we really desire to offer this water of life to Los Alamos, then we need to be broken open, to have a better sense of our mission and our vision, to know who we are, who God is calling us to be, to better grasp what's within us, to determine what is it that makes us unique as a parish community. What does God want for us for such a time as this? And so today begins the process by which we hope to do just that, to discern how God is calling us to act, to discern who God is calling us to be, to trust that the Holy Spirit will shape and mold our parish into precisely the kind of parish that God wants us to be. You know, being broken is not necessarily a bad thing. It doesn't mean being crushed beyond repair. It means becoming more open to the direction and the leadership of the Holy Spirit, to have a space where the Spirit can flow into us and we can share our gifts with the world around us. We trust that Jesus Christ will take the raw material of our church and shape it into a bright beacon of light for this community. So, through the guidance of Jeanette McDonald and the Episcopal Church Foundation, through the leadership of the vestry and the discernment committee that you've been reading about, and most importantly, and I can't stress this enough, most importantly, through the honesty and the prayerfulness and the participation of every one of you in this process, I believe God's going to do some new and exciting things with us. I think God can and will use this parish to more faithfully offer the water of life to the world around us, that God desires to use us as a guiding beacon of light to offer hope and transformation to this community, to the people who are hurting, to the people who are thirsty, both inside these walls and without. I mean, this is an extraordinarily exciting time to be here, to be part of this parish, to see just what God is going to do with us. I mean, really, if God can take a sun-bleached rock in the middle of the desert and crack it open and reveal flowing water from it, if that's the story that we have, can you imagine what God can do with a parish that is willing to trust and to listen, to open itself up, to be broken up, to engage in prayerful discernment and honest conversation and hopeful planning? Can you imagine what God is going to do with us? I mean, the possibilities are limitless. And so my hope is that we will remain open to the working of the Holy Spirit in our midst. that we will be anticipating God's movement among us as we're engaging in this process of strategic visioning. You know, when those in our community cry out in the desert wilderness of their lives, "Give us water to drink," my prayer is that they will learn to see us as a fountain from which they really can drink of the living water of Jesus Christ. Amen.